Eric, how are you this morning?
Good, drinking a cup of coffee, exactly as you said.
Well, it's kind of what you got to have every morning.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought about calling you as soon as I saw that the federal government has named a Asian carp czar. And in one of your recent columns, you noted that you don't know if that's really going to help the situation. Talk about that column.
Well, I think the problem is that the Asian carp czar, I mean, what's he going to do, study the problem again? There needs some more study of the problem of questions of what would happen if this thing gets into the Great Lakes. But right now, the question of keeping it out of the Great Lakes is very clear. The first thing you need to do is shut off the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal, which is the vector that these things can get into the lake.
Now, in talking with officials from Illinois, they believe that the Asian carp were still more than 50 miles upriver. But in seeing there is evidence, not only photographic evidence, but physical evidence of Asian carps caught near the mouth of the Great Lakes. And so there seems to be this debate here, and you have one state which doesn't want to lose the revenues from the jobs that would occur if those locks were shut off, but you have all the other states and all the other entities involved that if the Asian carp do get into the Great Lakes, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, we might be. I see, and first of all, we should say up front, we don't know what's going to happen if these things get in. Now, we do know what happened when zebra mussels got in. I mean, that cost us, it's costing the Great Lakes area, I saw figures, the estimates are $200 million a year just to clean up after. That's just cleaning up, you know, water inlets and outlets and industrial pipelines and things like that. So the other thing you have to look at, too, is, I mean, listening to the city, taking the city of Illinois' word on where the carp are would be like taking BP's word on how much oil came out of that Gulf. And, you know, face it, these guys have a vested financial interest in this. And the other side, they do long term, but right now the main concern is just protecting a resource, the environment. And it's a real mess. And a fish was caught in, essentially in the Great Lakes. It's in what's called Lake Calumet. But Lake Calumet is similar to the lakes at the mouth of the rivers that go into Lake Michigan on the Detroit side. If you're in the harbor at Ludington, you're in Lake Michigan, and that's what Lake Calumet is like. And then, by the way, it's very clear now that the Illinois scientists did something absolutely reprehensible. They twisted their data and their conclusions on that carp that was found to make things look better than they are.
Eric, from what you know and what you believe, if these fish get into the Great Lakes, will they do more damage than zebra mussels have?
They'll do probably as much. I mean, you have to watch. I went to the Shedd Aquarium. We just Brian Kaufman, a photographer, and I just were in Illinois. That's the fourth trip I've made there in the last 6 years, I think, and to work on stories about Asian carp. And one of the things we did this time, you got to remember, when they're underwater, they're in pretty murky water. You can't really see them. So we went to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, which is absolutely a wonderful place if you just to go out for any reason. But the Shedd has the only exhibit of live Asian carp. It's got them in a big tank that's clear, and you can see them. And they fed them for us. They put in brine shrimp. It's plankton, little bits of stuff that floats in the water, little tiny stuff. And then you could see these things going along. And then they have both species, the big head, which get up to about, and the Great Lakes on is probably 60 pounds, actually, although they've been caught up to 80. And then the silvers that go up to about 30 or 40. And these things go through the water with their mouths just opening and closing. And you just imagine, this is a 20, 30-pound zebra mussel clearing the water. Now, if they get into the Great Lakes, in the open waters of Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, they're not going to make it very well. They're not going to spend any time there because there's not enough food for them. But if they show up in some of the tributaries, if they get into the Grand River, if they get into the Green Bay area, if they get around the lakes and get into Saginaw Bay, they get into these rivers that give them the current they need to breed and that gives them the amount of food they need in the water, they're going to do tremendous. They're going to what's happened in the Illinois and Mississippi in big areas, they've become 90% of the biomass.
Eric, in talking about the state's budget, many departments have been cut. 4% from the Department of Corrections. Education has seen a drop, although they found another $11 per student. Infrastructure has seen a shrinking of funds. But obviously what's going to be hit is recreation and parks. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, it is. In fact, it's not just recreation. If you notice, they always they go after the people who really don't have well established lobbies and can't fight back very well. I mean, they're not going after the oil industry, which is doing all kinds of nasty new drilling up in northern Michigan, and nobody's going after the liquor industry for more taxes. The one that provides that house in Lansing where they get free parties for legislators trying to raise money for re-election. It's just a nasty system that we have. I mean, I call it legalized bribery. And the problem there is that if they go, parks hopefully will see something better, because starting in October, you'll be able to buy that license plate for $10 extra on your license plate, little tag. You will be able to go into every park free in the state of Michigan, which is just probably the greatest bargain in the United States. But the parks, that's another thing. We did a story this summer. Our travel writer, Ellen Krieger, and I did that. We went to just a stack, dozens of parks, and the parks are in really bad shape. They need a lot of stuff. There are buildings there that are 50, 60, 70 years old, haven't had the kind of maintenance that's required. They've actually had to shut down electrical and water systems because they're no longer safe to use. So, that to me is, if your government cares so little about its people that it won't even provide some basic recreation for them, then that's a pretty bad government.
What's the Michigan fishing report, especially in regards to the mid-Michigan area? How are the fish running?
It's right now, this time of year, it's all salmon, salmon, salmon. I mean, the rivers are packed full of them on both coasts. But inland, I just came back. In fact, we ran a story today. I was fishing Saginaw Bay for bass. And for bass, you just can't get a better time of year than right now. I mean, they are just stacked up in there in huge numbers. This is the time of year they just start gorging themselves, getting ready for the spring. So we have a story, and we actually have a video on our website today that I did. So it's pretty neat. This is a good time of year to get out and fish. The other thing is, one thing's going to happen within very quickly. You're going to have everybody, most of the people who are the outdoors people, their attention turns to hunting now. So you can get out and find rivers with far fewer people on them than you would during the rest of the year.
Well, let's talk about the EPA's decision not to ban lead in bullets. I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, it depends on where you are. I think we have banned lead shot for hunting ducks and geese. And that's because, we tend to hunt them in the same relatively small areas. And so for decades, God knows how long now, probably well over 100 years, some of these places have had people just spraying, lead out there by the thousands. And in those areas, it actually kills quite a few birds. It's not a small number. A lead bullet for deer, the chances of that doing any harm to anyone are virtually negligible. I mean, there's a lot more people. There's a far greater chance that someone will be killed driving to the hunting site than getting harmed by lead. In fact, any people. So, however, at the same time, I've got to say, how long do you just keep using a product like lead if you can get around and not use it? I mean, lead's pretty nasty stuff. We see when it's done to kids, when it gets into paint. We've seen, other areas where lead's very, very toxic. So, you can replace lead bullets. By the way, they're also talking about getting rid of most lead sinkers for fishing. And immediately, the same thing. It's all, the money comes into it. The sinker industry or the fishing industry immediately goes straight up the air saying, no, we don't, that's not necessary. Well, there are places in Europe where they've banned lead because they've shown that, again, in places where you get concentrations of ducks and geese, they'll eat these things. So what they've done is largely banned smaller lead sinkers. The bigger ones, the birds are unlikely to eat. So, but at the same time, you hear people saying, that's terrible. You know, it's taking our rights away. Well, it's not taking your rights away, and it's also, you really don't need them. The people start yelling about the increased cost. Well, how many sinkers do you buy a year? I mean, compare that. How much beer do you buy on your fishing trips compared to sinkers on your fishing trips? You know, it's 100 to 1 for the beer. So there's no real economic argument against it. And I think, you know, long term, I think we have to start looking at just getting rid of any kind of toxin. There's no reason to put it in the environment anymore.
And Eric, before we let you go, what does firearms deer season looks like? Do you have a forecast?
It looks pretty much like last year. I think most of the state, in some areas, I think it's probably going to be a little better. If you can get access to hunting on a farm or property in southern Michigan, it's going to be great. Up where I live in Grayling in northern Michigan, it's going to be so-so. Just because we don't have the good habitat to produce good deer. UP, I think it looks a little bit better than it did last year, but then last year was pretty grim for the UP. But then you got to remember long term that the UP wasn't deer country. There weren't any deer there until we went up and cut the forest off. So if you liked last season, you'll love this one. If you didn't like last season, you're probably going to feel the same this season.
And I'll tell you what, Eric, you want to see deer, you come out to Williamston where I live, and they are
exactly
everywhere.
And, you know, and in some areas, it's interesting, where I live in Grayling, our neighborhood, you'll hear all kinds of people complaining bitterly about the lack of deer around there. In our neighborhood, we just end up with, you know, and I'm in Lake Margaret, just west of town. We've had, you know, like my wife's had every plant of every kind eaten this year, which is pretty unusual.
All right, Eric. You can find Eric Sharp's writings for the Detroit Free Press at freep.com. He also has a blog there. Eric, thanks so much. We'll talk to you just before firearms deer season.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll see you then.